Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Amazon's Alexa sits in your kitchen or anywhere else and brings a whole world of artificial intelligence and voice-powered interaction into the heart of your home. Alexa just turned 2. A new raft of people just got Alexa as a gift over the holidays. We wanted to catch up with how this homefront AI is evolving and maybe changing us as well. This hour on Point, Alexa, AI, and us. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you used Alexa? How does it change your home life? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. And welcome to those of you watching this live on Facebook. You can see Alexa sitting right here in the studio with us. Not much to look at, but connecting us to the whole world. If you'd like to check it out, go to our Facebook page, OnPoint Radio. Joining me now in the studio is also a fine flesh-and-blood human, Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter at the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Glad to be here. Hi, Tom.
Hi. And Alexa, Alexa, can you hear me? Alexa? Hello, Alexa? Well?
Alexa is simply waiting for you to ask it something.
Oh.
It's going just fine right there.
Oh.
You have to say something like, Alexa, what's the time in Kinshasa? Whoops. Alexa, what time is it in Kinshasa?
Okay.
The time in Kinshasa is 5:07 p.m.
Okay, and boom, Alexa is on the air with us. Well, Alexa, we'll come back to you. Stand by there. There's more that we want to hear. Here's a little video Amazon put out early on in Alexa's life. This is 2014, where a family show was showing how it worked for all the members of the family.
Alexa, add wrapping paper to the shopping list.
I've put wrapping paper on your shopping list.
Dad, how do you spell cantaloupe?
Cantaloupe. C-A-N-T... Alexa, how do you spell cantaloupe?
Cantaloupe is spelled C-A-N-T-A-L-O-U-P-E.
With everything Echo can do, it's really become part of the family.
Okay, that was then. Now, Alexa's showing up all over the place. It's going to be in Ford automobiles. It's going to be in all kinds of, linked up with all kinds of appliances. GE announced in September it'll be linking AI software in their own devices called Geneva to Alexa. Here's an example of Alexa helping out around the kitchen.
Alexa, ask Geneva to preheat the oven to 350.
I've set your oven to bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit.
Alexa, ask Geneva to heat water for coffee.
Heating water for K-Cup.
Okay, there's Alexa at work. Hiawatha Bray is with us in the studio. Hiawatha, what is Alexa? What is going on here? What is it?
I personally think that Alexa is just one of those products that appears out of nowhere, if you will, and starts changing the world in a way similar to the, and I don't think it's going to be quite as big, but similar to what the iPhone did. Nothing new here, except it's an implementation of an idea that's been around for a long time, implemented better than anyone's ever done it before.
Describe what's going on technically with Alexa.
Well, okay, by the way, just so you know, and for those who are not watching, I just had to push the microphone off button, because we are going to keep saying the word Alexa, and it's going to make this thing activate.
Okay.
There is a little computer inside that has just enough intelligence to realize when it hears the word Alexa.
Yeah.
Only at that moment, it starts recording what you say after you say Alexa.
Yes.
And transmits that over the internet to a data center that figures out the meaning of your words and responds in some way. It is speech recognition carried to a very high level. One of the sophisticated things they did was to build microphones into this device that are very accurate, so that you can be standing at almost any corner of a room, and as long as your voice is loud enough, it can clearly make out what you're saying.
There was a time when it depended on learning your particular voice. What about this technology now?
This is what's known as speaker-independent speech recognition. It used to be if you sat in front of a speech recognition device like the old Dragon software on your laptop or something like that, you would have to spend half an hour or so teaching it to recognize your voice. This doesn't need that. It can, by the way, it can be trained to improve its recognition. But right out of the box, it will recognize about 90% of people's voices. My wife is Congolese. She speaks with a heavy accent. Yep. It will recognize her voice.
Is there a limit to what Alexa knows?
Oh, huge limits to what Alexa knows. There's all kinds of things that Alexa does not know. And one of the fun things I sometimes do is I just ask it a random question. And it surprised me earlier on. I asked it a question. Let me just give you an example.
Okay.
Alexa, what's the diameter of the planet Jupiter?
Jupiter's diameter is 88,800 miles, 143,000 kilometers.
I'm going to turn the mic off again, but that's an example of how it keeps learning more and more by connecting to different databases. There's no limit to what it could learn based on its ability to access different databases.
Let's ask it a little more. Alexa, who will be inaugurated president tomorrow?
Try it again.
Alexa, who will be the next president of the United States?
The president-elect of the United States is Donald Trump.
Alexa, will Donald Trump be a good president?
I'll continue to support good platforms, like myself.
Oh, she's cheeky.
Yes. Well, this is the thing that Apple started with Siri. They have pre-programmed a bunch of clever responses to all kinds of different questions in an attempt to be non-committal. But as you can see, as more and more data is available, these things are going to become smarter and smarter. Now, you know, ultimately, the company that should have led the way here and that would have done an amazing job is Google, which is now playing catch-up. They now have a product called Google Home, which works much the same way. And one of the things about Google is that it has this immense database of questions. And so when you use Google Home, which I don't have Google Home, but I have OK Google on my phone, and I prefer it to any of the other services I've tried because Google knows so much. It is often able to answer questions that Alexa can't answer, that Siri can't answer, and so on. But all of these guys are eventually going to be able to answer just an incredible array of questions.
Is this one of those deals where there will be one winner, or will there be lots of competing AI servants or virtual assistants out there?
That is a fantastic question, something I was going to come to. I don't know the answer yet, but one of the reasons this is so important is that Amazon got here first, and now you have companies all over the world that are saying, I'm going to make my device Alexa compatible. Now, that doesn't rule everybody else out. Oops, see, it lit up because I said Alexa. Let me turn off the microphone. But the point is, everybody's now trying to do this. We've got Microsoft going in there. They have a speech recognition system called Cortana, which, by the way, is named after a computer in one of their video games. Mm-hmm. We've got, of course, Google. They're calling it Google Assistant. We've got Siri from Apple. They're all rushing into this market, but Alexa and Amazon have a big head start. What you could see...
A head start in terms of adoption, where people own it, or what's their advantage?
Oh, absolutely. Adoption is one of them. Now, the most recent figure they've given out is that this thing is already in 5% of America's homes.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yes.
But that still leaves a huge market, don't get me wrong. But after 2 years, they're in 5% of America's homes. People are buying them like crazy. And anybody who wants to get in there and compete needs to move really fast. The flip side argument, though, is if you look at car automation, you'll look at companies that are supporting both Apple and Android in their cars. Mm-hmm. You can plug in an Apple phone and the screen turns into an iPhone. Or you plug in an Android phone and your car becomes an Android phone. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that many of these companies will start to adopt two or three or more. We'll have to wait and see.
Now, I was talking to one of our producers here today, Tanya Raleigh. Her dad loves this device. Mm-hmm. That's funny because I want to keep saying Alexa, but we've got people now writing into us online saying, every time you say Alexa, my Alexa lights up at home and oh.
That's exactly right.
But he likes to check the weather without having to, you know, just say, hey, what's the weather? He likes to check the latest news headlines. He likes to just call for whatever music he'd like to listen to. Yep. You don't have to mess around with your phone. Just say it. And he's got it in multiple locations in the house. So anywhere he is, boom, there comes the answer.
Absolutely.
There comes the music.
I've got this hooked up to my Spotify account, which I love because now when I want to listen to music, I just say, play my my favorite Astor Piazzolla songs on Spotify.
Yes.
It goes to Spotify. I have a whole playlist ready to go, and it just plays it.
What else do you do with it?
Well, as I said, I mean, for example, there's banking. I was just fiddling around with that. You can hook up your bank account to it. Capital One Bank, for example, already has that. If you have Capital One Banking or a Capital One credit card.
So she'd say, what bills do I have outstanding?
And Alexa how much say, do I owe on my credit card?
And you can say, pay that?
Yeah, you can do all of that kind of stuff. Now, luckily, the one I set this up, and it has a PIN number that you speak. Okay. So you say your PIN number. So just some stranger can't come up and start tapping into your bank account. But yes, you can do that right now. There are countless other tasks you can do. There are a whole host of apps that work with it. They can read you your email or give you recipes or calculate math problems, any number of things that a computer can do.
We've got all kinds of people calling in about Alexa. Russ in Dayton, Ohio. Russ, you're on the air with Hiawatha Bray. What's your story?
Hello, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Tom, I have a, I'm not going to say the name out loud.
You have one.
I'll call it Debbie. I've got a Debbie.
Okay.
Here next to me in the kitchen and family room. And Tom, this controls lighting and outlets. My thermostat, it allows the family to ask, you know, questions to the air and get answers. And I'd say somebody asks Debbie something every 10 minutes here. And I really see that this can only get much better and much more sophisticated as the Internet of Things grows. I really enjoy it. It's quite a bit of fun. And
Is it about novelty, Russ, or is it about convenience? Does it make your life easier? If you're chilly, do you just say, Alexa, kick the temperature up 2 degrees?
Yes, I do. Wow. Exactly.
I'm so primitive. I still have to go to the thermostat and touch it.
I simply say just that. Outlets, those can be... also worked with.
Let it go. Yeah, Russ, we got it. It's in your family, and it's working for you. Okay, so you're there in Dayton, Ohio. Let's see. Alexa, what's the temperature in Dayton, Ohio, Alexa?
In Dayton, Ohio, it's 39 degrees with cloudy skies. Today, you can look for lots of clouds, with a high of 51 degrees and a low of 39 degrees.
Okay, and there we are. It's in the air. It's everywhere. Russ calls us from Dayton. We know what it is there. He can hear it here. We won't call her Debbie because she's Alexa. But we'll come back. Stand by. Hiawatha Bray is with us from the Boston Globe. We're talking about Amazon's Alexa and the present and future of artificial intelligence in our homes, in our lives. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Amazon's Alexa and the present and future of artificial intelligence in our homes, in our lives, in more and more appliances and environments. Hiawatha Bray is with us, tech reporter in the business section of the Boston Globe, author of the book You Are Here. You can join us as well. Do you use Alexa? And what does it mean to be backed up all the time via voice with all the knowledge, or an awful lot of it, on the Internet? Does it make us bigger? Does it make us smaller? Does it enhance us, make life more convenient, make us lazy, or give us superpowers? You can play Rock, Paper, Scissors with Alexa.
Alexa, play Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Okay, let's play. 3, 2, 1, scissors. 3, 2, 1, paper. 3, 2, 1, scissors.
Yes.
Okay, who needs kids? You can play with the little gizmo on the table.
Cool.
We've got this little sort of hockey puck sized speaker, Amazon speaker on the table. Alexa is embedded in this, and of course I say the name and she comes on. So I will ask how many miles from New York to the Tierra del Fuego?
Well, it has to be phrased in a particular way. You have to say the word and then immediately ask the question. So go ahead and do it again.
Alexa, how many miles from New York to Tierra del Fuego?
New York City is 6,540 miles from Tierra del Fuego, as the crow flies.
As the crow flies.
As the crow flies.
Okay. I mean, I don't know when I'm going to need to know that. What about more? I don't know. Are there complicated? Can it answer philosophical questions?
Well, I really haven't tried philosophical questions. But, you know, to me, I think this is almost the parlor trick aspect of the device. Yeah. And that's fine because I love it for that. But when I was writing about this, what really concerned me, and I don't want to make it panic-stricken or anything, is that this is what I think of as the gateway drug. It's like the Model T of the Internet of Things. Yeah. And that is what I think is really important about it.
Make it a gateway drug? We think of gateway drugs as a negative. It takes you on
which
to...
it might be.
Why?
We turn to the famous case in Bentonville, Arkansas, of the murder investigation where the police are basically trying to subpoena an Alexa, or an Echo device with Alexa in it that's in this guy's house, hoping that it accidentally recorded something he said that proved
somebody
he was
ended up dead in his bathtub, and they want to know if Alexa was listening that evening and what it might have heard. Is Amazon Rent giving up that?
So far, they have refused to do it, and they've said that there wouldn't be anything of use anyway, because it does not record what you say until you say the word Alexa, and then it only records a very limited amount of what you say after that to transmit up into the internet.
Are you sure that's all it records?
That's what they say, and I don't have any reason to assume that they're lying about it. But this starts to open up a whole interesting array of issues. Now, I have this Alexa at home. Now, by the way, this is the Echo.
Here's people a taller can see one.
This is the original one. This is called the Echo.
Right.
It is actually just a speaker and microphone with Alexa software built in. This is the newer one. This is a much less expensive called the Echo Dot. This is a cheaper version that does all the speech recognition stuff.
Okay.
But the key thing to remember is I've been using this now for a while.
The taller one, like the size of a bottle of orange juice, maybe.
Yep. It doesn't really matter the size. The point is that it has a record of everything I've ever asked it. So one of these days, somebody could conceivably go and know all the stuff that I've been asking Alexa. That is on file. And as I understand it, Amazon has said that they will give up if they're given a warrant to reveal it.
Shifty character, Hiawatha Bray, asking about the diameter of Jupiter. Who knows where this could go?
There you go. But it goes beyond that. But did you need to take a call first?
No, let's go to Dawn in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Sure.
Dawn, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'd like to know what we know about those who may be collecting the data for the questions asked and then profiling the owners of Alexa or the other types of these technologies.
Yeah. Even if it's just the questions, I mean, do we know? Does Amazon say what they do with that? Do I check the box
somewhere? Well, they tell you what they do with it. They basically say we hang on to it for further analysis that we can use ultimately for things ranging from improving the quality of the service to maybe even offering you things you might want to buy. Mm-hmm. They're saying, here's what you're interested in. We may try to market things to you by using this kind of information. Mm. By the way, you can delete it. You get an app that you use on your smartphone if you have an Alexa, and you can go in, see every question you've ever asked, and tell it, wipe them.
You can take it down if you want.
You can take it down if you want to. But how many
people
are going to...
Do you believe it comes down?
Well, that's a fascinating question in itself. They may actually just they may just anonymize it. Keep the data, but remove your name from it so they don't know whose data it is.
John in Columbia, Missouri. John, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to the potential, ulterior motives that, Amazon or these other companies might have. In terms of privacy, so if you have a device listening to you nonstop, your pets are barking, they're listening to talk about dinner, so on and so forth.
Are you worried about that vital information getting out, your pets bark and what's for dinner? I mean, I'm being facetious, but...
Just unintentional information that gets sent to these data centers and what they may or may not do whenever you agree to the terms.
But again, Hiawatha, they say they're only recording it after you say the word Alexa.
That's right. And I have no reason to assume they're lying, because if they were caught out lying, they'd be in huge trouble.
Yeah.
But I think the caller is raising a very legitimate point, though maybe not quite in the way he means. Mm-hmm. What I'm concerned about is this concept that you sometimes hear about called data exhaust.
Okay.
The idea that you go through the world and your mind and your body are like an exhaust pipe spewing out data, which once upon a time nobody could collect.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason this is so concerning is that once you start using Alexa and using devices in your home connected to Alexa, every single thing you use now has a record. It now knows mm-hmm. you turned on the heat at such and such a time. It now knows you turned on the radio at mm-hmm. such and such a time. Mm-hmm. This murder case I'm talking about, yep. now this isn't about Alexa, but the most interesting and worrisome thing about it, they're doing the investigation. They have already interrogated the house water meter. They found out that this guy used 140 gallons of water between 1 and 3 a.m., and they think he was cleaning up the murder scene.
Yeah.
Now, how did they know that? A traditional water meter wouldn't have known. His house had a digital water meter, and now they can track every time you turn on a faucet. That's what I find really concerning.
Hiawatha Bray is with us. We're going to turn in just a moment to a writer in New York who's a little worried about all this. And we have the gizmo itself sitting right on the table. I'm just so curious about where, and I don't know whether to say it or she. Of course, there's this whole controversy about whether we gender identify it because of traditional, you know, women's roles or what men have liked women's roles to be. Alexa, did Russia hack the 2016 presidential election?
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
She's ducking. I know she's ducking. Dan in St. Petersburg, Florida. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just want to say that basically people think that they know things by asking Alexa questions, and what they're not realizing is they're not getting that visceral. I mean, if you want knowledge, you have to go to books, and you have to go to places, and you have to talk to people. It's not just about asking this you know, quote unquote, robot. You know what to think.
Why is that true, Dan? Like, you want knowledge. What's the difference if you go to a book or you go to Alexa?
I think we lose the human connection that we have from books and from books being written by other people. The knowledge that they want to give out,
mm-hmm.
I think, is more. It's more connected to something that we all are losing with getting more connected with AI.
AI kind of moving in. We need to work for our knowledge. I mean, that is an assertion that will surely be tempted over time if by work we mean older ways of accessing knowledge. Dan, you may be exactly right. I'm not sure how humans will think about that in another generation or two.
But I don't know that that's a new question. It's the same question raised by Google. Has been raised for many years. Does Google make you dumb? You think you sit down and you're typing a Google query, you actually know anything? It's a good question. Yeah. He's got a very good point.
No, it is a good question, and something about being able to just speak a question and mm-hmm. have the answer rain down on you from a speaker on the countertop.
Yeah.
I want to raise it with a different Alexa. Alexa O'Brien, she's an independent journalist, reports on national crime, security. She recently had an op-ed piece in the New York Times headlined, Ask Alexa? No. Hear this, Alexa, and not so crazy about the impact of Alexa on the way we humans function, think in the world. Alexa O'Brien in New York, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. I don't understand your question.
I'll try. I'm so glad you're a human being. We can elaborate. We can get nuanced. What's got you worried about Alexa? Alexa?
Well, I think, you know, it raises a lot of really important questions about as we sort of obtain control and convenience from platforms like Alexa, you know, are we also giving up a kind of autonomy or control over our own persons and even our own societies? I really liked the question that the last caller raised. You mm-hmm. know, as we disengage from people and we depersonalize institutions that enable real connections and collaborative sort of human deliberation, are we, you know, does our society benefit for that? Do we actually know all the real costs? One thing in particular, we are already here. I mean, you know, and if you look at just the president elect, you know, his main form of communication currently is Twitter.
Yes.
So when it comes to complex challenges that we face as a society, can answers that we need be reduced to sort of 140 characters or even the first line of a Wikipedia entry, which is what the Amazon Alexa essentially delivers to you when you ask her a what question.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also something even deeper than that. You know, people pretend this sort of assumption that technology platforms are neutral politically, I think also needs to be impeached. You know, there is design does in a certain sense sort of give us certain choices and opt out other ones. And so as Amazon Alexa voice recognition platform becomes more pervasive and begins to sort of take over these kinds of social institutions, as, for example, automation takes over or displaces service work, and we start to interact with it and form, you know, it sort of impacts essentially what we would say the standards of public discourse become.
Are you worried that we get lazy when we can ask Alexa anything, anytime, soon, anywhere?
It's really more than laziness. It's also about habit. It's about expectations and it's about standards. You see also already how like social media has transformed political discourse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For better and a lot for worse. You said give up. It means we give up autonomy. Now, why would it not super empower us rather than impinging on our autonomy?
Well, what I mean to say is you might be able to sort of unilaterally, you know, tell this device to turn on and off your light bulbs. But then you also look at what data you're providing to, you know, companies like Amazon. Mm-hmm. And look, fundamentally, the data that we provide, they'll know much more about us than we'll learn from Alexa. And it's about predictive analytics. It's sort of, you know, knowledge becomes predictive analysis. So will we be, you know, denied insurance, health insurance, or will we be denied a loan because, you know, the data we provide to these companies sort of correlates us to have, you know, cancer when we're 25 years old or whatever it might tell us about ourselves.
Just one more digital drip in our arm here. Alexa O'Brien, please stand by in New York and Hiawatha Bray with me. Callers from all over the place. Jenny in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Hi, Jenny. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Great.
Great. Well, I just want to call in. You know, I was driving my son to preschool and I was listening to your segment on Alexa.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say that I got one for Christmas one at my husband's work Christmas party. I had never heard of it before.
Yep.
But when we got it home, there were several people at work at the party that were jealous that I had won it. And I got it home. We got home and I started using it and we love it. I've got four kids. Three of my four kids will tell it, you know, Alexa, play this song. You know, all month long we're listening to Christmas music. My 7-year-old son wanted a particular bike for Christmas, and I found that he had added it to my shopping cart like 3 or 4 times.
Using Alexa to do that, you're saying, Jenny?
Using Alexa. So he'd go up and he would say, Alexa, add, you know, the dirt bike to the shopping cart. And, you know, so it would be in my, so I would somehow subtly, you know, find it.
Do your children ask questions of Alexa, Jenny, when they're just around the house?
They do. They still say, my kids will say, Alexa, what's the weather tomorrow for school? Alexa, what movies are playing? You know, on a Friday night, if we're going to go to the movies, they'll say, Alexa, who is the first president of the United States? If my daughter has a report that she's doing, she'll use it as, you know, at the countertop. She'll say, Alexa, what, you know, this math problem. I mean, it's fantastic.
How old are your children, Jenny?
My oldest is 11, and then I have a 7-year-old, and I have a 3-year-old, and then a 1-year-old who obviously is not.
If they grow up thinking that any time they can just ask a question into thin air and an answer comes to them, how do you think they'll be different from you?
Well, it is. It's going to be a lot different. I mean, this is a different generation than what my husband and I grew up in, and you know the rest of us. But I think there are definitely pros and cons. I mean, they know that they have to be, you know, within the same room and they have to speak up and that sort of thing. But I think it's, you know, it's amazing what it can do and what this means for, you know, future and technology and, yeah, for our kids, what type of an impact this is going to have on their future. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
There's an enthusiast in Idaho Falls with four rather, I guess, enthusiastic children about Alexa as well. Jenny, I really appreciate your call. Alexa O'Brien in New York, what about children who grow up presuming that there's intelligence in the air? All they have to do is ask, and you know, sort of godlike voice or goddess-like voice gives them an answer. What's that mean?
I think it's about the type of sort of answer they get. I mean, if the answer to questions is just simply a multiple choice, which is essentially what Alexa offers, even in her, you know, produced content, like you can, one of the games or skills you can put on your Alexa is you sort of walk into a choose your own adventure audio book.
Okay.
And it'll give you sort of multiple choices. I don't know if that's actually genuine AI, but that's sort of the current offering. So, you know, is knowledge trivia? is knowledge multiple choice, or is there something else that humans maybe take for granted or don't quite completely understand, that's sort of mysterious aspect of being human and knowing ourselves, that we need to really actually formulate wise policies?
But I wonder just about our internal attitude toward holding on to information. Maybe I don't make the active effort to remember anything anymore, because why should I? My car, my washing machine, my ceiling fan, everything's going to have Alexa in it telling me what the answer is.
Yeah, I can't lie. I already live like that. I rely on my email and other stuff to remind me what's going on in the world.
Alexa O'Brien, does it drive you crazy now that your name is Alexa? People are afraid to talk to you because they turn on every listening device in the house?
Yeah, it's really funny, actually.
Funny. We'll see just how funny it stays if this is the name that takes over the world. Alexa O'Brien with us from New York. Great to have you with us for a minute today. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Rocket Mortgage provides a transparent online process that helps you understand all the details of your home loan. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the right mortgage solution for you. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Amazon's Alexa and the present and future of artificial intelligence in our homes, our lives. Hiawatha Bray is with us, technology reporter for the Boston Globe. You can join us this hour. What do you think? What will it mean for kids that grow up with these AI virtual assistants right there in the home, by the crib, in the car, you name it, all over, all the time, from birth? You know, answers to anything, everything, always right there in the air. Did you get one of these for the holidays? Are you already addicted? How's it working for you? We've got an Alexa sitting on the table here, and it's funny, Hiawatha. People all over the country are writing and saying, every time you say the word Alexa,
yep.
Because Debbie writes, to make matters worse, I'm listening to your show via Alexa on my Amazon Echo, and every time we say the word, it shuts down. Very, very common question here. Catherine asks on Twitter, why are all these AI devices female? Why have an assigned gender at all, Hiawatha?
I have no idea. It's a great question, and it is a longstanding thing. One story that I heard was that if you remember Star Trek, the computer on Star Trek was female.
Yeah.
And the story was that Gene Roddenberry was doing research and was told that NASA had researched this and decided that a female voice would get the attention of astronauts more efficiently than a male voice. And so they said when they were working on experimenting with this, they thought the voice should be female.
Are we perpetuating this sort of servant role of a patriarchal culture laid out for females?
Well, yeah, but there are these assistant devices that can be programmed to use a male voice. There are programs on the market. I don't know if they can do it with Amazon, but there are plenty of these out there that can be reprogrammed with a male voice. The thing about Alexa, of course, is this is the first one to become a mass market hit.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of these things out there, but this is the one people use.
It's all over. Here, of course, there are others. Google Home. Yep. There's another one. Here's a commercial for that father reading to his daughter. The daughter keeps asking the father questions he doesn't know the answer to.
There's an ocean filled with creatures.
Daddy, how big is a blue whale?
Okay, Google, how big is a blue whale?
Blue whale typically has a weight of 300,000 pounds.
An ocean filled with creatures.
This one, Mom, does a big whale noise.
Whale noise? Okay, Google, what noise does a whale make? All right, let's keep going. An ocean filled with...
Do whales sleep?
Okay, Google, do whales sleep?
And on it goes. And, of course, the kids are paying attention to all of this work. Stephanie writes to us, our 7-year-old asks Alexa to turn on her bedroom light at night before she goes into the room because she's still a little afraid of the dark. The idea that you can walk around, ask for information, ask for something to happen, and as this gets connected to the Internet of Things,
right,
the whole house responding.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful thing. I really like it. What worries me is the possibility that now you are creating, as I call it, data exhaust, and so every single transaction you have with your physical environment is now recorded.
Yes.
That's the thing that I'm concerned about. And my concern that this system ought to be designed so that even if it's doing that, it records as little data as possible. possible. Like
Apple. Why are you worried about that? If you're not, you know, cleaning up a murder in the middle of the night, and I assume you're not.
No.
Then
I just don't believe that it should be that easy for people to know the story of your life. And as we've learned from the whole science of big data, if they have every little detail about what you do in your life, they can pretty much identify who you are, what race you are, what church you go to,
what's going
what
on
you
with
drink,
you.
all that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure I want to share that information. Yeah. Apple has a really cool approach. You know how Siri does it? Siri does save the information of Siri requests, but it does not associate it with your name. They assign it a random code number.
Okay.
They are trying to make sure that even if somebody subpoenaed it, they could not tell you, this is what Joe asks Siri. They have designed it that way.
I wish everybody would be required to sign on to that approach.
Yes, I think so. I think if you're going to have this kind of a system, it should be designed so that you don't get personally identified with the data that these devices are saving about you. That's the way I think it ought to be done. I don't know how Amazon could do that. Well, Amazon could find a way to do it, I'm sure.
Oh,
I wish they would, but at this point, it's still associated with you.
We're going to go in just a moment to Jim Hendler. He's written about the coming collision of artificial intelligence, social networking, and humanity. Laura is calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Laura, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
You know, my question is a little bit about the kids using it. My daughter is 4, and she is hilarious. She will go out and just turn on whatever she wants, whatever music she wants. She asks it hilarious little facts. And I love watching her right now. It cracks me up. But as she gets older, I do have this sort of nagging fear in the back of my mind that she's not going to be, I don't know, grateful for you know, knowing how to go look up a fact, knowing how to, knowing that she has to buy music, that she has to, you know, it's just this thing that sits there and tells her what she wants to hear. And, you know, when I was a kid, I had to go save my money and buy a CD. And I know this is technology in general, but there is something a little bit different about her just asking the air. And, you know, the other morning I was still in the other room and I hear her just out in the living room having a dance party by herself with her favorite
That's wonderful.
Before I even got out of bed, you know?
Yeah. Where is, you know, what's good, what's not? I mean, there was a time if you wanted to travel 500 miles, you had to walk or ride a horse. Now we go in a car or on a plane. We don't think twice about it. Is it different if it's the way we get to information? Laura, I'm not sure. Let me get another mom in here. Laura, thanks. Holly in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. Holly, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, we had an Alexa gifted to us last Christmas by a family member who works for Amazon.
Okay.
And I was very much against it. My husband was dying to set it up. Visually, it looked like... I don't know. I didn't know where to put it in my house, and it looked like it should contain nuclear waste or something and be buried
in
the containment facility.
Okay, I mean, that's just a little piece of tech.
That was a little off-putting.
Okay.
And once he set it up and my daughter started playing around with it, she was in second grade then, she's in third now.
Yeah.
One of her favorite things to do was to ask it math questions.
You mean her, like from her homework?
Or just, you know, very large numbers.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But you can also use it for her homework, which posed some interesting issues about, you know, setting ground rules about use.
No kidding. Whispering in the bedroom to Alexa to give you the long division answer.
Exactly. And so, you know, I was initially put off, but I think right now we've reached a nice balance. My children like to ask Alexa to self-destruct. Have you done this?
Oh, no. Oh, let's try it. What's the question that you put to her, and then we'll do it?
Alexa, self-destruct.
I'll try it. Alexa.
Uh-oh, sorry.
Self-destruct.
Auto-destruction in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Run!
That did not go as planned.
Okay. She's right here. Hey, Holly, what do you think about the fact that it's a female voice? Are you rolling your eyes and thinking, oh, boy, here we go again. Woman is always asked to, like, bring the answer or, you know, bring the solution.
You know, I don't really feel one way or the other. It's more the automation of it. I'm concerned that it has made, you know, us more inclined to be lazy. And I like the idea that we can, you know, seek out our own answers, and we can use our own resources to process our world rather than asking something else to do it.
Stay resourceful, human beings.
Well, yeah, I think the answer to a large extent is take that kid to the library. I do think you're making a very important point here, but I don't see that this is like a crisis in that you can find ways with a child to work around that by insisting that the child does learn the old traditional ways of doing research, finding things in libraries, learning to understand that you have to read a book on a subject rather than just look at one paragraph in Wikipedia.
But even are they going to think, oh, my, a library is like a lump of coal. You have to go in and dig around. What a hassle. I can't just ask the air. Oh, my.
Well, no, I don't think this changes that because we've had this issue ever since like Google came along where you had to tell kids, no, this is just
There's the surface of knowledge.
Go find the rest.
Yeah. Holly, thank you so much for your call. I want to bring Jim Hendler in. He joins us from Troy, New York, professor of computer, web, and cognitive sciences at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, co-author of Social Machines, The Coming Collision of Artificial Intelligence, Social Networking, and Humanity. Jim Hendler, thanks very much for being with us.
Pleasure to be here, Tom.
This coming collision sounds very frightening. What do you mean, coming collision?
Well, we use the term collision very carefully to really mean these things are coming together. And people aren't really looking closely, not so much at the discussion you're having now about Alexa today, but what does it look like in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and what do we need to be thinking about
in
that kind of world?
Tell us.
So one thing for sure is right now it's pretty much you say something to Alexa, Alexa gives you an answer. It's not a conversation.
Yeah.
Amazon is investing a lot of money, in fact, with a challenge competition. My university is one of the finalists, to turn that into a conversational thing.
Like, give us an example. It's about what?
Well, so right now if you ask Alexa a question for which there are several different answers and then you give it the answer... So it might say, would you like me to do that? If you just say yes, it doesn't actually handle that right. But now imagine that's multiple sentences. So I've asked you about a person, you've given me some answers, and then I say, what did he do next? Alexa wouldn't know who you are talking about.
Oh, so kind of continuity in the conversation, not one query at a time.
Right, exactly. So it's moving to conversational. Second thing is right now the interaction with Alexa is between myself or the speaker and the device. But imagine my Alexa can talk to your Alexa, that we have this powerful AI technology that can do machine translation, that can help find people. So I could say, Alexa, can you find me somebody who can help me solve this problem? And now we're talking about something where a combination of multiple humans and multiple machines are participating together.
Wait, and they say you ought to call Hiawatha Bray in Boston because he's great on this? Or what are you suggesting?
It might be that, or it might be Hiawatha is asking that same question, so maybe he can, you know, would be willing to I can bring you two together to discuss this.
When you say there's a coming collision, it sounds kind of negative. Do you see ultimately enhancement of human beings here or degradation?
Well, in the book, what we do is we make it clear that by collision we mean things coming together, not necessarily in a catastrophic way.
Mm-hmm.
And a key part of what we're after is saying you must understand this technology, what its limitations are. We currently think that artificially intelligent systems, because they have that word intelligent in there, really are smart.
Yeah.
But they're really very narrow. They're really very good at specific things. Alexa is tied to web search and to looking things up on the web.
Yeah.
So if you ask Alexa, how could I go about doing something, it just looks to see if somebody has answered that question on the web and may play you their answer.
Yeah, okay.
But that's not the same as saying, I've looked at a lot of different possibilities. Here's how to personalize it. Here's what could help you in this situation.
So look 10 years down the road, or I don't know what the right number is, to take 10.
Sure.
What kind of capacity do you see growing here? Conversation, we get that, like threaded Q&A that can go on and reference points.
We think it's conversational. We think it's multiple people and multiple AIs cooperatively doing things. So, again, if you're actually trying to solve a hard problem, right? My car just broke down by the side of the road. What do I do? There's not an easy answer to that.
Right.
It depends on the context. It depends where you are. It depends who's around. It depends on a lot of information. Things that can help us in those kind of situations will be extremely valuable. But right now, they require some of the human intuition. And so we see for the foreseeable future That is, humans and computers together outperform either of them alone. And the question is, how do we as a society build around that model?
Mm-hmm. Humans and computers together outperform humans and humans, or computers and computers. Is that what
yes.
you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that heartening for us? Does that mean we have a role going forward? We're not all out of a job as being human beings?
I certainly believe it's heartening for us, but it also means that some of our jobs will be very different, that we're looking much more at computer as assistant than either as computer replacing us or at us being alone.
Yeah.
And that changes a lot of the balance of work and things.
You sound like you're making some of the arguments I hear sometimes from people over at MIT who have disparaged this idea that computers and robots are going to take over everything. That what is inevitably going to happen is that there's no way they're smart enough yet to do a lot of human-type activities, and it will be a symbiotic relationship with the robots and the computers and the humans all working side by side. It sounds like you agree with that.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that, and I've been saying it for a long time, including with some of your MIT colleagues. The key is that, so let's take an example, which we actually go into in great detail in the book, is your doctor.
Okay.
So your doctor needs access to some knowledge that they may not have learned in medical school because it's happened since then, that perhaps some particular set of symptoms could be part of a rare disease, and that there's a test. But your doctor would probably want to think about what they know about you. Is this somebody who really wants to be sure, in which case I might recommend the test? Mm-hmm. Is this a sort of somebody who I'm pretty sure from what I've seen in the past that they don't have that, so let's try treating the normal condition first and we'll only go to the test later. So again, the doctor is using knowledge about people, about society, about how we interact. And it's very hard for the computer to do that stuff. The computer, however, is able to go say to the doctor, you know, that set of symptoms could be this new leukemia that's just been discovered a couple years ago.
Is there part of human intelligence that you think may atrophy as this kind of AI assist becomes more common?
I don't believe that to be the case. We certainly see in the progress of the world, you know, I remember when calculators came out that now kids won't know how to do math. When the computer came along, now kids won't know how to use calculators. But understanding numbers hasn't gone away. And the role in our life of being able to put the right screw in the right hole with the right wrench hasn't gone away. So I really think that certainly for the foreseeable future, it's us and them together.
Does it make a better world ultimately, or just the same thing expressed in a different way?
I think it makes a different world, and that's really where a lot of the discussion is coming from. If you look at the Industrial Revolution, it really changed the way we live as a society. And we think that this technology over the next two or three generations may change how we live as a society. And that's both scary and promising as we get there.
Jim Hendler at Rensselaer Polytech. His book is Social Machines. Jim, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Hiawatha Bray, it sounds to me like you're in this. You're not kicking Alexa out.
Oh, absolutely not. I love it. I'm just concerned about the potential risks for privacy and security, but I think they're manageable. The key is to start thinking about this now and devise these devices so that they have security and privacy built into them at a high level. Other than that, I love them.
Hiawatha Bray says, bring it on. Hiawatha from the Boston Globe, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Alexa here on the table. I don't know if I should thank you or not, but I'm human, so I feel like I should. Thanks. Listeners, thanks for joining us. Share your Alexa stories with us online. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.